بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، we are continuing with the beautiful advice of Ibn Abi Hatim رحمة الله عليه, who was listening to the advice that Imam Uthman bin Qasim was giving to his students. And Ibn Abi Hatim rahmatullahi alayhi said, Qasim bin Uthman, not Uthman bin Qasim, Qasim bin Uthman rahmatullahi alayhi gave to his students. And we are today on this point where he said that if you are treated unjustly, you do not treat others unjustly. He says, you do not retaliate in an unjust manner and you don't treat people unjustly. This is something that is so critically important and very difficult. And that's the reason why it is so commendable. And really it is something that distinguishes a person who can do that. The finest example of this is Rasulullah himself. Because if there is one thing that can be said as the as being the hallmark of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was this quality of his, that no matter how anyone treated him, he never treated anybody unjustly or unfairly. He always behaved with the ultimate and utmost sense of justice and fairness, and then he went ahead beyond that to the level of ihsan, or to the level of excellence, where he advocated and he demonstrated in his life that he actually gave good in return for evil. And he not only did he give good for good, but he gave good in return for evil. And this is the quality of rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where from which comes the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Forgiveness happens because there is room for punishment, right? You cannot forgive somebody who did nothing. Someone didn't harm you, someone didn't do anything wrong. And you say, I've forgiven you. For what? He didn't do anything. So forgiveness comes only when a person has committed a crime, committed a sin, been unjust, transgressed, oppressed, whatever. And you say, well, even though you behaved with me in this way, I am not going to behave in the same way with you. And that was the case of Rasulullah. There are many, many examples, but just to give you one or two visible ones. Rasulullah ﷺ forgave Al-Habshi radiallahu anhu, who caused him such tremendous pain by killing his uncle as well as his closest companion, who was almost the same age as himself, Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu. But when Habshi came radiallahu anhu and accepted Islam and asked Rasulullah to forgive him, Rasulullah forgave him, even though after Fatah Makkah, Al-Habshi was one of the people on whom Rasulullah had passed the sentence of death. And he had said that these are the people, and there were seven of them, and Al-Habshi radiallahu anhu was one of them. He said, even if you see them hanging from the kiswa of the Kaaba, from the cover of the Kaaba, he said, they are to be executed. But when the man himself came and met Rasulullah, Rasulullah forgave him. Rasulullah forgave Khalid ibn al-Walid, radiallahu anhu, when he came to meet him in Medina. Khalid ibn al-Walid came to Medina, radiallahu anhu, and accepted Islam, and along with him came Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. Now, Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu was single-handedly responsible for the death of 70 Sahaba. 70 Sahaba in the Battle of Uhud. He led the cavalry contingent which attacked when the Sahaba who were positioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the hilltop, when they abandoned their positions because they saw that the battle was apparently over and people were the soldiers were collecting booty, and they had an argument, and most of them said, well, the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not to abandon this place was until the battle had been until the battle was decided, and now since the battle is over, we need to go, and you know, we want to go and collect our share of the booty. So they left, even though their leader tried to persuade them not to do that. He tried to argue with them, but they didn't listen to him. They went. And that gave Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, who was waiting for just this opportunity. He had concealed his cavalry contingent behind that hill where they couldn't be seen. And he just wanted to be able to get through the little defile, the little valley between the big mountain of Uhud and the small hillock. And that was what was being guarded by the archers on the small hillock. And these were placed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a part of the strategy of the battle. But when the archers left their place, the valley was safe for the soldiers to come, and Khalid bin Walid brought them and he wreaked havoc. He turned the complete tide of battle. The Muslims from being the victors became the losers. And 70 of them died. It was a huge, huge, huge tragedy. But when the same Khalid bin Walid came to Rasulullah forgave him. And not only did he forgive him, but see the magnificent vision and the magnanimity of the Prophet ﷺ, that he gave him command of the army. So he did, not only did he forgive him, but he said, he must have said to himself that I'm not going to deprive myself of the talent that this man brings. So whatever he did in the past, he has repented. He is now regretful about that. So I forgive him and I will make use of his talent now, which had hitherto been used against me. I will use his talent for the Muslims and for Islam. So he appointed him as the chief of the army. Another case, perhaps even more stark, was the case of Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu and his wife Hind. Now Hind was the one who went and I'm trying to think of a non-offensive word. Slashed open the chest of Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu after Habshi had killed him radiallahu anhu, and she cut out his heart and she chewed it. I mean, imagine the level of barbarity of somebody who could do that. And this is a woman. And her husband, Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, he was perhaps the number one enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, after, of course, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab and so on. But those had been killed in Badr. So after that, Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu became the head of the Quraysh, and therefore, by default, he became the head of the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet, after Fatah Makkah, when Abu Sufyan and this Hind were both in the power of Rasulullah ﷺ, he could have ordered for them both to be executed. He did not do that. He forgave them. And they both became good Muslims, alhamdulillah, and they remained that way. And of course, many, many more stories. The point I'm making here is that this thing which is the advice that Ibn Abi Hatim rahmatullahi brought to us, of saying that even if you are treated unjustly, you do not retaliate in the same way, means don't lower yourself to the same level as the person who treated you unjustly in the first place. somebody who is unjust, somebody who is unfair, somebody who is does something illegal, somebody who oppresses, has actually lowered his own rank in the sight of Allah. He has lowered himself. He has demeaned himself. He has insulted himself by behaving unjustly. And the advice here, and this is of course what Rasulullah taught us, is don't do that. Don't let somebody else decide how you are going to behave. You behave the way you behave because of who you are. You don't behave in a different way because of what somebody else is. That person is exhibiting their upbringing. They are exhibiting and they are being a being the face or the signature of their parents and their families. You don't fall into that trap. You don't fall down to their level. Don't do something which becomes a means for people to cast aspersions on or to point a finger at your parents and most importantly at Rasulullah ﷺ because you are Muslim. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to give us wisdom and patience and to enable us to live our lives in a way which is full of dignity and which is full of goodness for all who come into contact with us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rabbal alamin.